If you be for us, who can be against us? Thank you, Lord, that you are for us. Even this morning, as we come before you, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears. We bring our feet, we bring our hands, we bring ourselves before you. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay. We read from John chapter 4, the Gospel of John. Chapter 4, we read from verse 1 to verse 42. Please come, let us read together. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And this is the word of the Lord. This week, we are looking into violence against women. As we know that the country has been facing a lot of violence against women. It's been havoc, really. It's scary. It has become scary for many women. And of course, we have the church that is the light of the world. That as a church, as a community of believers, we are called to be stirred up when such things happen and do something. And so during synod, it came out of the synod that the bishop and the synod agreed that the church, the Methodist Church of Southern Africa in particular, here in this district, should address the issue in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so as we gather here today, looking at the scripture that we have read, perhaps some of us wonder, where is violence in what is happening in this particular conversation? Where is abuse? But actually, you will find that often there is such a thing as oppressive language, oppressive history, oppressive culture. There are such things. And in this case, this story serves to stand as a correction. It is correction against violence towards women. And through this story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman, I hear the word of God saying, women need to be liberated from oppressive conversations. Because that is where often it begins. The language that puts other people down and gives them terrible names that stigmatize them and make them believe that they are nothing, they mean nothing, just from the language. And of course, the language comes from attitudes and even traditions. And so I invite us from the start. I want to pose this question. As a woman, what do you make of this conversation? And as a man, what do you make of this conversation? The conversation goes like this. The key functional statements there. How is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, and a woman for a drink? And the response from Jesus, if you only knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink. And so let's reflect for a moment. As a woman, how does this conversation affect you? And as a man, how does it affect you? Amen. Just keep that as your reflections as we go along, and even when you come to communion, encountering Jesus, allow Jesus to encounter you where you are in this conversation. But I see Jesus bringing kingdom dynamics. You see sensitivity and reconciliation. And in fact, you see this initiative when Jesus decides to go through Samaria. He could have taken another route, but he takes the initiative deliberately because he is committed to reconciliation. And so, as he meets with this woman, this is actually intentional. The conversation is intentional because Jesus is reaching out with his reconciling love, with his divine love and sensitivity. To a woman whose morals are questioned, a woman who is discriminated because of her race, a woman who is discriminated because of history and tradition. And in fact, Jesus is always consistent in all the Gospels. He has one thing in mind, breaking the mold of the traditionally religious people, those who frown upon others. He mixes with Pharisees, with tax collectors, in fact, not Pharisees, but tax collectors, and the generally sinful. And by this, Jesus is actually modeling the kingdom of God to us. that it is about building bridges. It's about closing the gaps. It is about questioning any tradition or history that seeks to put other people down. And in this case, we are looking at women specifically. And so this conversation stands to invite us to eavesdrop, take note, reflect, and go out there and do something. Start questioning the ways in which people talk to women and about women. And in fact, not only by the opposite sex, but rather how women talk about themselves, how they respond when they are being treated with dignity and respect, and check where that comes from and seek to hear Jesus saying, here is the gift of God. Here is the gift of God. And so if I were to give perhaps a functional statement to our message today, I would say we are called, particularly as women, to redefine ourselves in the way that God sees us, to reclaim our dignity from hearing what God says to us and about us, from hearing the word of God speaking to us that we are created in his image. But also this invites men as well to hear the word of God and question those things, that language that perhaps affect their attitudes. But women are called to come for healing, to see Jesus and hear Jesus saying, you are worth more than what the world says to you. If Jesus is prepared to do that just for one woman, that woman stands historically for all the women in the world, all the women that are marginalized in any way. But also it calls the women to reflect on their attitudes about themselves and actually refuse those things that recruit them to look down upon themselves. Historically, women are recruited by tradition and all the other things that put women down. They have been recruited and they have accepted it, the status quo. Not all, but we need to struggle together, because there are those things that we have become familiar with and we think nothing of them. Just, I wish, I'll try to translate it into English, but it's not going to sound the same. Yesterday, I went somewhere to do some debriefing, but also to preach, to do a memorial service at the United Nations. The lady who was found at the Table Mountain, I don't know if you remember, in the news. So anyway, I come back and I chat with my husband because I found it very heavy. But he said it in Xhosa. Those who understand Xhosa, I'll first say it in Xhosa. And he said, "Ibinjani semonana yakho." In English, you could say, How was your little sermon? Are you with me? And of course, he was joking. But because I was preparing this sermon, I was kind of sensitive, more sensitive than usual. Because normally he says I'm little and everything I do or say is little. But not in a derogative way. But yesterday, he got a shock of his life because I lost it. And I said, stop it! There is no such a thing as a little sermon. I don't preach little sermons. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon, madam. What's wrong? But the point is, that was just an exchange that is not necessarily destructive, but it conscientized me that sometimes we take certain words, certain things that are being said to us as just okay, and we do not scrutinize them, when in fact they are putting us down. Whether deliberately or not deliberately. And some of them are more serious than what I'm talking about, what I'm sharing. We meet people in the street, or myself as a short little minister, and a woman, worse, black, and left-handed. I sometimes get all these kind of remarks, you know, say, wow, what a surprise. What a surprise, particularly from men. I didn't expect that you could do whatever it is that you did. I didn't expect. I looked at you, your size, and etc. And sometimes I grin it and bear it. But actually, it's not something that should be said, because it's belittling people. And so I invite you to be sensitive like Jesus, to be sensitized to changing history, and be careful of what we say and scrutinize history and words. And even the fact that you heard there, God is spirit. We heard that, didn't we? That God is spirit. And we need sometimes to actually scrutinize the language that makes us to perhaps think falsely and to believe that God is male because of the language, the masculine language. He, mighty warrior, commander in chief, etc., etc. We are reminded that God is spirit. And so God has no gender. And that sometimes is taken literally to mean that people forget, because of the powerful language, forget that God is spirit, is not male. And that makes some men to think that they are closer to God because of the masculine language, and some women to think they are further down on the chain because of the language. And these things we do not talk about. We skirt around them because we are scared. In case you tread on my corns, I tread on your corns. But in fact, when we face these things that have potential conflict, then we stand corrected. And we get to understand one another even better. And so I invite us, as we come to communion today, that we rethink our language, our attitudes, and scrutinize history and listen to words very, very carefully. And in fact, use words very carefully. But also to be intentional about changing the status quo, albeit even if it's in our little corners. You know, how we deal with those people that that are seen as perhaps lower than others for whatever reason, particularly women, and begin to recruit ourselves and recruit others to see women as God sees them, as shown and revealed through Jesus Christ. Lastly, I invite you to perhaps go and read, if you can. You can find it even on Google and order it. There is this interesting book by Dr. Martin Luther King that highlights that public dimensions of private life actually affect the whole community. And it challenges us to engage in conversations that bring hope into our community. The title of the book is, and in fact, I pose this line. It made me, when I was thinking about this question, where do we go from here? Then I remembered this book by Martin Luther. Martin Luther goes further. He says, where do we go from here? And then he says, chaos or community? So do we continue allowing chaos, or do we build a new community, an alternative community that defines and redefines women as God defines them and turns around and tells the world that this is how God sees women and this is how women should be treated? I invite us to pray for this advocacy, that we advocate women's rights and bring a sense of hope to all women around us. But this includes women themselves, that no matter what stereotypes have defined your life, you pray and you learn to resist them, not to fight, but to renegotiate your space and see yourself as put by God in your space as a woman for a purpose, and go out there and leave the jar that initially made you to misinterpret your status quo and leave it as a church woman and as a man of God, and go and tell women that here is your gift, the gift of love, the gift of equality from Jesus. Come, let us reflect together. Thank you, Lord, for coming to make us to pay attention. Attention to all things that oppress others, particularly women in this case. Thank you, Lord, for coming to sensitize us . Thank you, Lord, for touching us with your word and with your Holy Spirit, that we may continue to be agents of change in our world and bring peace, that people may believe that you are the Messiah. In Jesus' name, amen.